All right. Well, as we keep hearing and seeing in the media here in New England, autumn is nearly upon us. And that means all the glory that fall has to offer for you, whether you're a casual leaf peeper or an avid hiker or a camper or someone who just likes to get in the car and go for a lovely drive to somewhere where they can sit and just enjoy the peace and quiet and the beauty of autumn here in Connecticut. And we have no better guide to help us do that than Megan Strange. She's with the Connecticut Forest and Park Association. They were founded not too long ago, back in 1895. They were the first private nonprofit conservation organization to be established in Connecticut. And we're going to be talking to you all about it, giving you some important points that you need to know. But the first one we're going to give you, I'm sure Megan and the Forest and Park Association colleagues share, but this is from our guest last week, Katie Dykes at the Connecticut DEEP. She wants you to know Connecticut experienced record wildfire activity in 2024 with 605 fires burning more than 500 acres, destroying eight structures and disrupting communities across the state. The Connecticut Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, DEEP, wants you, whether you're a resident or visitor, to be aware that seasonal dry weather and windy conditions in combination with fallen leaves and increased sunlight reaching and warming forest floors can elevate the likelihood of wildfire. By being aware and taking appropriate precautions, everyone can play a valuable role in protecting our families, neighbors, and communities. And if you'd like more information, you can just consult the venerable Smokey the Bear. You go to smokeybear.com to learn everything that you need to know about helping to prevent forest fires and wildfires. All right, Megan, good morning. Thanks for joining us. I'm sure you and your team are also very much fire aware at this time of year.
Yeah. I mean, we've had a very dry summer, and we're starting to head into a dry fall. So we really just want everyone to be safe out there and practice the best practices so that everyone can be aware and have a great fall this year.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit about the Forest and Park Association. And before we dig any deeper than the introduction I just read, what brought you to the organization? Do you have a passion for environmental protection and promotion?
I would say a little bit. You know, it's interesting whenever I talk about what led me to the organization, because in some ways I do feel like I fell into this. So I had just graduated college and was a little bit lost, you know, trying to figure out where do I want to go in my life? What do I want to do? And it just happened that one day I was looking outside the window and I was thinking about the trees that were out there and the plants and thought, hey, I think I want to be in the outdoors. I think I want to help nature. You know, there's so many things that are threatening our ecosystems right now that even as someone who didn't go to school for this and just has a passing passion for it, you know, the idea of being able to help that really thrilled me. And that's kind of led me on my path to the Connecticut Forest and Park Association to where I am now. Helping my colleagues really elevate their work and get our mission out there and hopefully get people excited about what we're doing so they can join us on this journey.
Well, the CFP certainly has a long tenure of environmental stewardship and promotion of our open spaces here in Connecticut. Beyond that initial introduction, tell me a little bit more about the association and what are some of the more important things that people need to know about the structure and the organization, at least so far, before we get into talking about some other unique and important points.
Yeah, so the Connecticut Forest and Park Association, or CFPA, is a nonprofit dedicated to conserving Connecticut for today and tomorrow. Our mission is to connect people to our forests, parks, and Blue Blaze hiking trails so that they can be conserved and well-managed for future generations. You talked a little bit about the history of the organization, and here's a little known fact that may not be known by everyone, is that when the organization first founded, you know, our state was only about 20% forested. So, you know, the forest you see outside your window in like a 15 or 30 minute drive, simply weren't there a little over 100 years ago. That was a lot of agriculture and pasture land. So the organization has been really dedicated to fostering healthy forests and fostering that connection, getting people to feel something about the nature we sometimes take for granted, to build it back up. And thankfully, we are now up to 60% forested in the state, thanks to the efforts of the organization and many different partners in the state working to bring those forests back. In addition to that, we also conserve land. So we're a land trust with over 2,000 acres under our name. We advocate at the state level for conservation priorities and have helped create the Passport to the Parks program, as well as assisted with the establishment of over 100 state parks in Connecticut. In addition to that, we have our trails. We have over 825 miles of Blue Blaze hiking trails across Connecticut, which are great opportunities for people to get outside and get connected into nature. And then we also have a robust education program delivering forest-based environmental education to adults, students, teachers, and the community.
All good reasons why folks should go to ctwoodlands.org and consider becoming a member of the Connecticut Forest and Park Association right now. As you're hearing, a lot of great work that organization is doing, and you can be part of an over a century old initiative here in Connecticut to make things even better in our environment. So, Megan, you know, when folks are going out to enjoy the beauty of autumn, too often I think that they are just doing a lot of looking up when, as you pointed out in some of your you know, your interview notes, they should also spend a little while looking down, because aside from the leaves changing colors, there's a lot of other really cool and interesting things that happen in the autumn here in New England from an environmental standpoint.
Yeah, I feel like fall is such an exciting time for our ecosystem, because you're seeing a drastic change from the summer as the, you know, plants, the animals, and the bugs begin prepping for the winter months ahead. So it's a great time to slow down, take a look at your surroundings, and notice what is changing from the summer season. So you'll find acorns beginning to drop. You'll find mushrooms starting to pop up. Like I said, animals and plants are prepping for winter. That's why those leaves are changing color and dropping. And in addition to that, if you like birds at all, it's a great migration time. So we're seeing birds coming in from the north, heading down south for the winter, and you can see who's coming through and who's staying. And it's just an amazing time to slow down and see what's happening.
And aside from slowing down, I guess it's also a time for folks who get a little bit competitive, because a big part of what juices them up is hiking. I see here that there is something going on with the Blue Blaze hiking trails called the New England Trail Hike Challenges. What's that about?
Yeah, so we have two challenges, the Blue Blaze Hiking Trails Challenge and the New England Hike Challenge. They're great ways to get outside this fall for anyone who's looking for a little extra motivation, maybe a little excuse to explore a new area of the state. They are challenges that allow people to sign up. You can pick a few different hikes to go on, and you record those miles. For the Blue Blaze Hiking Trails Challenge, you can get a prize at different mileage points. So 50, 200, 400, 800, you can get anywhere between a patch and a 800-mile hiking vest. That's a pretty fun exclusive club. And then the New England Hiking Trail Challenge, that one is specific to the National New England Scenic Trail that passes through Connecticut here and goes up into Massachusetts and a little bit beyond. And you hikers can go out there, hike, I believe, up to 50 miles and also get a patch. So great ways to get outside and also a great time to, you know, grab a buddy, take on this challenge together, and explore new places you haven't been before.
So maybe now is the perfect time to stop pushing and prodding people to get out so quickly, because we need them to be thinking about safety when they're out. We've already mentioned the fire dangers that are potentially escalating as we're now in a kind of halfway through a period of dry patch weather-wise. But also, you know, while Mother Nature is putting on her colorful glory, hikers should not seek to downplay the safety of being colorful themselves, right?
Exactly. Yeah, so with the fall season comes hunting season. We want everyone to be safe out there. You know, hiking and getting outdoors does not come without its risks. So we want people to be aware of what is going on the trails and in the forest. Hunting is allowed in some state parks and forests, and you can always check out more information about the different hunting seasons and what's happening when you're planning to go out at CT Deep, DEEP, for more resources on that. In addition to that, it's really important right now to make sure you're planning ahead and being prepared when you go out for these adventures. So you know your route you're taking, you're checking the weather because things are getting cool. So you want to make sure you're bringing layers, have water, maybe a little bit snack for yourself, and make sure you're tailoring your preparedness for that type of hike you're taking. So if it's a little bit of a quick hike after work, maybe you don't need to bring as much. But if you're planning a full day adventure, you want to make sure you're as prepared as possible. So if anything comes up, you can tackle those head on and have a great experience overall. In addition to that, you know, the trails give us a unique opportunity to really immerse in nature, but we also need to remember that we are entering places that are the homes of wildlife and plants. So we strongly recommend everyone to follow the leave no trace practices, and that's what we practice ourselves. So some of those principles are, you know, carrying out what you carry in, leave what you find in the woods, staying on the trail so you can lessen that impact in the environment, and also just respect others and the wildlife you may run into. You know, we're coming into their homes and experiencing what is their reality, and you are going to be running into community members who are also looking to get outside and have a great time. And then a last little just tip and safety reminder when it comes to getting out this fall is, you know, it can get pretty busy out there, and parking can be a little bit tough. If possible, you know, I always recommend that people carpool. It's a great way to, you know, get an excuse to get everyone together for a fun car ride as you go on an adventure. But it's also great for the environment. It also saves space in those parking lots, which can sometimes be small. And then if you come to a parking lot that may be full or maybe isn't great to park in, you check out other parking lots that may be nearby. On our website at ctwoodlands.org, we have an interactive trail map that's great for picking out your adventure. And on there, we also have, you know, some information about parking nearby. So, you know, have a couple of those possible parking places available in your back pocket just in case, you know, a spot's not open for you so you don't have to turn around and go home.
Perfect. Finally, it's all about stewardship with the Connecticut Forest and Park Association. It all starts with those who take care of many of the locations and trails that you've been talking about. That's where the Master Woodland Manager Program comes in. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes left. Let's put the focus on recruiting people during this anniversary year.
Yeah, so it's a really exciting year. As you mentioned, it's an anniversary year. We just welcomed our fifth class for our fifth anniversary, and it's the largest class we've had yet. We accepted about 75 students, and 65 have enrolled. So that is one group that is getting outside this fall. They're doing what our education director likes to call a choose-your-own education adventure plan through a mix of virtual and field learning. I believe there's a little bit over 170 programs that they can spend the next year choosing to learn from, to learn all about force management. So as you said, we're all about stewardship, and just to bring it back to that 60% that is forested in the state now, actually 70% is privately owned. So that could be individuals like you and I who may own a property or live on a condo area that may have an acre of land. That's land trust, that's municipal property. Getting these people who have acres of forest out there to learn more about how to manage them, especially how to manage them for wildlife, for economic changes, or for economic reasons, or for climate changes, is really going to help create these forest corridors that, you know, have been kind of fragmented over time by development, so that there's great places for wildlife to exist. We create more places for people to coexist with nature, and we'll help steward these places, hopefully for future generations. An amazing stat that I'll never not be amazed by is the fact that since the program started, we now have over 169 master woodland managers who are out there managing their land or the land on behalf of someone for these sound decisions that they're making. And they're actually managing over 75,000 acres Wow. of land here in Connecticut and a little bit beyond. So the amazing impact of that program is going to have a huge beneficial impact for the future of the forest in our state. And if anyone ever wants to learn more about the program or even join the program as a master woodland manager, you can go to our website at ctwoodlands.org/master/MWM to learn more about the master woodland manager program and apply for next year's cohort.
And ultimately, folks can also be very, very helpful with even a small nominal donation straight to the association, right?
Yeah, of course. You know, we wouldn't be able to do what we do without the community support of our members, our donors, and also our volunteers who really step up and help fulfill our mission and get it out there. So folks can join and become a member at any level and make that impact to support our programs and our work. You can also join us as a volunteer and get out on trails doing trail maintenance, becoming an education volunteer to help with programming, or even just helping out in the office. You know, we love to have people come in and help. And really right now, with the federal funding uncertainties that face in the next couple of years ahead, it's going to take everyone, you know, taking a step forward to use their power, use their voice, use their resources to step up for the outdoors so that they can remain supported through whatever life throws at them.
The website is ctwoodlands.org, and for the entire 130 plus years, this organization has been working as stewards of Connecticut's growing network of forests and trails. The Connecticut Forest and Park Association was the first private nonprofit conservation organization to be established in Connecticut. Their worthy representative today for our program is Megan Strange. We really appreciate the conversation and all of the tips and advice, Megan. ctwoodlands.org is a place to go to donate, to learn more, check out that interactive trail map, and get out there and enjoy all the beauty that Connecticut has to offer this autumn and beyond. Megan, thank you so much.